Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, let's see. Cute kids at YCF, I'm telling you. Make sure you take yours home. They're cute. They're cute. I love kids. I love kids. You're all big kids, so I love you. I love you. Wave at the sound booth. Aren't they awesome? Heaven doesn't need a PA system. It's wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we come to you, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made access to come to you by what you did on the cross, your perfect sacrifice. And so we come boldly into your throne. We come to you, Father, and we say thank you for what you've done in our life and what you're going to continue to do in our life. And Father, I just ask that eyes would be open, ears open, and just hearts, Father, to receive your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to smile a lot, but I need you to disregard a lot of what you might think you know, or today it's just going to go wing, wing, and you might even walk out of here. So everybody say, I have an open heart to receive the truth of God's word. Amen, amen. Okay, so we're in week three of, I finally figured out to call it, because you know every week I'm like, what am I going to call this series? The series is called Next Step, Next Step. And it's talking about the next step that we grow so we can go. The next steps so we can grow and we can go. It's the next steps that we grow spiritually so that we can go and do something. Everybody say, I'm going to do something. So this is why, and week one we talked about the grow part is to have a secret place, a time where you always spend time with the Lord. And we just went over, right, basics. But it was, you know, sometimes we forget the basics. So week one we were talking about the presence of God, being in the Word and worship and stuff. And last week we talked about serving. And serving is just the beginning part of growing and going. Today I want to talk about, and this is where y'all are going to chuck out anything negative and you're going to smile at me. Matter of fact, y'all are going to stand up and go, go Pastor D! Go Pastor D! Because I want to teach on giving. Woo! Go, Pastor D! Go, Pastor D! Because you have a destiny to give. Write that down. I'm going to say write that down a lot of stuff today, all right? Because you're going to have to go home and chew on it. Because there's stuff, and there's just stuff that needs to get chucked out and you need to chew on. So today we're going to talk about giving and our destiny as a giver. Look at the person next to you and say, you have a destiny to give. You do! Amen. All right. Okay. And this destiny, this our spiritual and eternal destiny is wrapped up in this subject called giving. Brian, you just like my cover sheet for today's message. Go, Brian, because Brian prays and hears from God. All righty. So, point number one. I have 3 points today. Not really long and complicated. Okay, point number one, if you're taking notes, because God is going to speak to you, and if he drops a treasure to you, don't you think you ought to write it down? Yeah, everybody smile at me. Okay, so here we go. Number one, you're going to write this down. The grow is to go. The grow is to go. The grow is to go. The grow in your life is to go and do stuff for the kingdom of God, all right? Now, some people, not us, sometimes people think the grow is the end all. Like, I'm growing, I'm so strong, period. Okay, and they stop, all right? But that's not it. The grow, as you grow spiritually and you collect and you know God and you all this stuff, the grow is to go. Everybody say, the grow is to go. Okay. And you cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life, the destiny for your life, unless you have some grow going on. Yeah, without grow, you are not going to fulfill the things God has for you. Basically, baby, 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 right? So that's why we grow, right? So grow is really important. Now, on the other side of grow, something that I don't like, I really don't like, on the front end. On the front end, I don't like this, but wherever there is growth, there's going to be pain. Everybody say pain.
Pain.
Yeah. You should write that down. Where there's growth, there's pain, all righty? And in order to fulfill and the plans and the purposes that God has for your life, one, you have to grow, and two, I know I hate this word, there's going to be a little pain to it. Sometimes a lot of pain, all righty? And there's got to be some pain. Pain. So let me tell you a story. I read this in a book years ago, and it just stuck with me. It's a true story. It's a testimony this gentleman gave. He had been in, it was when the Vietnam War was going on. So this gentleman was in boot camp. Okay, in boot camp, and he had a drill sergeant that he hated. Now, I've never been in any of the armed forces, but pretty much I ask all of them, did you love your drill sergeant? The typical answer is, no, I hated him, okay? Because boot camp is designed to be brutal, okay? It is not eat bonbons and watch TV. Okay, it is designed to do that, all righty? So this guy tells the story, and he's in boot camp, and they're in this trench, okay, and they're supposed to not raise their head when they're in the trench, okay? Don't raise your head, because what they're doing is they're simulating what's going to happen when they ship them out to Vietnam, when there's a fire blowing up all over the place, bombs, okay? So here we are in boot camp, and you're supposed to lay down with your and not lift your head. And the gentleman who's telling the story says, but you know what? Human nature is, when you hear boom, what do? You want to lift your head up, okay? Because you're hearing boom. And the other thing is, you hear people walking towards you. So you want to lift your head up. And he says, so every time there were the booms and all of that, I'd lift my head up. And my drill sergeant would come up to me with the butt end of his rifle and knock me on the back of my head, almost knock me out, over and over and over. All right, and this gentleman said, I just hated my drill sergeant, all right? He said he really hated him. He said, if I ever see him when they send me off to Vietnam and there's a fire, whatever you call explosion going on, there's a name for that, I don't remember what it's called, but when if that's going on, I'm going to shoot him. I'm going to kill him. I hate him. So, okay, now, he never ran into him in Vietnam, so praise God he didn't kill him, all righty? But here he is, he finishes boot camp, and he's shipped off to Vietnam, all righty, and there's a firefight going on, and he's laying in the trenches, okay, and he wants to pick his head up, and he wants to see who's coming at him, because, you know, what's happening here, but he doesn't. Do you know why? He was trained to keep his head down. He was trained to keep his dead. He had been disciplined to whatever's going on, don't lift your head. So he's in this trench or whatever, and the things are going off. And he's like, I'm not lifting my head. I have been trained. I am disciplined. I am not lifting my head because I know. All right. And he's with his best buddy, but the problem about his best buddy is he was trained, but he wasn't disciplined. And there's two different things there. He was trained, but he had not been disciplined. Okay? So, going on, and he looks at his buddy, and then he turns his head, and he looks back, and his buddy's head is gone. True story, okay? And he realized, after the fight is over, he realized the drill sergeant who I hated and I wanted to kill, I was never more thankful for. right? So he gets out of the war, and he tracks down his drill sergeant, and he goes up to him, and he says, you know, he tells him the whole story, like, I wanted to kill you because of how mean you were and hitting me with the butt of the... And the drill sergeant sort of chuckled, and then he tells him the rest of the story. And he starts weeping, this gentleman, this weeping, you saved my life. Training and discipline. You saved my life. Okay, why am I telling you that? Because I love grossing you out, making you squirm. No. Okay, boot camp is to prepare you for something. Boot camp, how about this? God's boot camp, everybody say God's boot camp, is to prepare you for a war. God's boot camp is to prepare you for a war to rescue. The army of God being sent out to rescue people, God's boot camp. So today we're going to talk about boot camp a lot, all righty? Now, turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. The Bible, this is what Paul writes about King David. Now, obviously, King David's been dead like a couple hundred years, but listen to what he says. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He died, okay? And was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed, okay? One of the saddest things I hear about so many Christians, everybody go, not me. But one of the saddest things about I hear as a pastor about Christians, listen to this, is they never discover their purpose. You know, they live and they die. Somebody else comes along and they live and they die. And they never discover their purpose in life. God has a purpose for your life, okay? And not even considering figuring it out their life, but they never discover that they have a purpose to the generations around them. Look at the person next to you. You're that generation. Okay. They never discover that they have a purpose to the generations around them. All right? Now, we are to touch the generations around them. Can I do it all by myself? No. But individually, no. But corporately, we're doing it. And Brian mentioned a lot about that too. All right? Now, when I read that scripture years ago, this thought hit me. What would God write about me when I die? What would God write about me when I die? Would he say, yeah, D served God's purpose in the generation on this earth, and she died. Guys, God has a purpose for your life. Your God has a purpose. Smile at me, somebody. Wow. Woo! Okay. You have a destiny to fulfill, and it starts in boot camp. Alrighty. So we're gonna talk about giving. Everybody say, yay, giving! Alrighty? And it's a destiny that we have as a giver. So I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions. Shake your head this way or this way, okay? Question number one: is giving just about being miserable habit of giving to God? Is it good? You guys get a lollipop after church. You have to go downstairs. Okay, question number two. Is God just trying to suck stuff away from you so he can take things away from you? Yes, you get another lollipop, all right? How about this? Is God just banging back of your head with a rifle just to be abusive with giving? No. Or how about this? Is giving a boot camp so you can find your destiny and purpose for life? Yes, you get, I don't know how many lollipops. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the giving is a boot camp. Giving is a boot camp, all right? So point number two, that was point number one. Point number two, take your notes, write this down. The boot camp of giving, the boot camp of giving. Everybody say the boot camp of giving. All right, now I am going to be very transparent. You're going to think, holy moly, pastor. But I tried to be, okay? And I'm going to share a lot of things where I struggled with my destiny as a giver where I struggled because I just didn't understand it, all right? So I'm going to share a bunch of this, all right? Now, turn over to Acts chapter 20. You're already in Acts. Flip over to chapter 20. Listen to what Paul says. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Okay, this is one of those, when I first heard it as a young Christian, I didn't get it, okay? Acts chapter 20, verse 35, okay? Remember the words of our Lord Jesus. Himself said, so Jesus said this, ready? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Everybody say, it's more blessed to give than receive. All right. I remember reading that just as a new Christian, and I was poor, 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 all right? And I'm reading that, and I'm thinking, I don't know about that, Lord. You know, I think personally if someone wants to come and help me right now, that would be really fine. But it is more blessed to give than to receive, okay? I didn't understand the why. Why? Why? Why is it more blessed to give? So if you're taking notes, jot this down. Ready? You will never be more Christ-like. You will never be more Christ-like than when you're giving. Oh, I'm just like Jesus. But you will never be more Christ-like than when you're giving. All righty? Okay. Now, write this down, the next one. The principal action. Everybody say action. The principal action of love is to give. The principal action of love is to give. Love gives. Okay, you all know the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave, all right? God's principal action is to love, all righty? Now, he didn't just sit up in heaven and text, I love you, emoji heart, wah, wah, wah. He didn't open the windows of heaven and say, hey, y'all, I love you. No, he gave his son. That's love, okay? So the principal action of giving is love, all righty? Now, none of you, but usually the first place people's brain goes to when I talk about giving, they think money. She wants my money. It's all about money. Raise your hand if you thought that. That is smart. Years ago I did though, okay? But listen, giving, the least is about money. Jesus says it's the least. Giving, like money is the least on his list, okay? Yeah, actually, so we're talking about the preparation that happens in boot camp. That God's going to put us in boot camp, there's a preparation. And when you understand this subject of giving, it will enable you. It'll give you life. It will, you will lay down your life for people. You will serve other people when you understand giving. Okay, so people, a lot of people don't understand that, but this church, you all got it. I know that, but I'm going to still say this. Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about Jesus learned obedience. Jesus learned obedience, okay, through the things he suffered, okay? He learned obedience. Actually, he made a choice, all righty? He made a choice, righty? Now, you all know the story of in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. It's the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? And Jesus prays three times, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, take it away. Father, and he said three times, Father, if there's any way I don't have to do this, take it away. Father, if there's any way I don't have to do this, because it wasn't about hanging on the cross. And let me tell you, that was a doozy. It was about the sins of the world that was coming upon him, that would come upon him. Father, if there's any way I don't have to do this, just let it pass from me. And God said, nope. All right? God said no to him. And Jesus said, okay, your will, not my will. Righty? So three times the Son of God, the three times the Son of God is pleading with the Father, if there's any way that this can pass away, because what I'm about to do is going to be so horrendous to take the sins of the world. If there's any way that you can just, you know, skip me. And the Lord said, the Father God says no. And Jesus says, okay, I will do it. And the Bible says he set his face like stone to the cross. He was like, okay, you said no, I'm doing this. And he did it. And what did Jesus do? He gave his life, all righty? So I want you to see in boot camp of giving, okay, that it's a training ground. This is training. You are going to be trained in the boot camp, okay? And you're going to see really where it goes, all righty? Now, turn to Hebrews. I'm kind of jumping here. Let's see. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews, I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but isn't the book of Hebrews amazing? Like so much meaty, okay? Just take you through the gospel. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Hebrews 12, 11. Listen to what it says. No discipline. Everybody say, I love discipline. Yeah, right. Okay, no discipline is enjoyable. Woohoo! No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's what? Painful. But, this is the good time of but, ready? But afterwards, there's a peaceful harvest of right living, or peace and righteousness, after you're trained and disciplined in the pain, after there's peace and righteousness, but it's not for everybody. It's for those who are trained in this way. Okay, question, trained by what? Discipline and pain, right? That's the training. Discipline, and it comes with pain, all right? So those that are going to submit to the training and be disciplined, you're going to have pain. But listen, it's got a peaceful harvest. So on the front end, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. On the back end, I love it, I love it, I love it. Peace and righteousness in a harvest, okay? Front end, out, out, pain, pain. Back end, the end end, it's good, all righty? Now, if you're going to be disciplined in anything in life, it's painful. Anything, all right? I hate to run. What's the saying? If you see me running, it's because someone's chasing me, okay? I've tried running. My lungs are going to explode. God only knows what's going on with blood pressure or something like that. So I hate that. It is painful. Matter of fact, I'm not made to run. If you're a jaguar, go running. Okay? Okay? Now, how about this? If you lift weights, anybody lift weights? I have a pile of them. We just move them around. They're door stoppers. Really? Okay, but seriously, if you lift weights, if you really do that, the next day, it's really day two, what happens? Pain. I've watched you, okay? Anything you do in life is going to require discipline, which means you're going to have pain, all right? It comes with pain. If you're disciplined, it comes with pain, all right? If you're disciplined, it's going to come with some pain, all right? So I want to give you three kinds of giving disciplines. Just three. Three kinds of giving disciplines that every Christian, everybody say every Christian. Look at your neighbor, say that's you too. Okay. Three kinds of giving discipline that every Christian needs to be trained in, all right? And now I didn't say it's only for the mature Christians. I didn't say, oh, it's only those that are 100 years old in the Lord. It's only for them. Uh-uh-uh. This is the ABCs of a Christian. This is, it's not kindergarten. This is preschool. This is preschool. This is the first thing that every Christian needs to cut their teeth on. The discipline of giving. All right? Say, I'm one of those. Yeah, all righty. Okay. Because if you don't win this battle, right there, the discipline of giving. If you don't win this battle, I tell you what, you're never gonna get to all the real purpose that God has for you. Alrighty? So if this has to do with, it does have to do with handle your money, how you handle your money, and I'm gonna give you a scripture that's just gonna go, lights, fireworks, you're gonna see it. But right now, write this down. Three types of giving discipline that every Christian must be trained in. Okay? Now, on the front end, this was my front end over here. This is where I start. On the front end, this was painful because I was ignorant of the harvest over here. So on the front end, this is painful because you don't know that at the end there's a harvest, okay? Yeah, smile, somebody smile. Okay, here we go. First discipline, giving disciplined. Ready? Tithe. Everybody say tithe. Tithe is a Hebrew word. It means a tenth. You can write that down if you don't know that. All right? Okay, and the tithe belongs to who? Everybody point up. The tithe belongs to him. All righty? So, every dollar that I earn, God said, a dime, God said, not your granny, not Pastor D, God said, every dime you earn belongs to me. Every dollar that you earn, a dime belongs to me. All righty? So you all got that. Right? All righty. So, write this down, because I'm going to probably say it five different times. God takes this really serious. He does, and you should too. All righty? Now, here's the deal. I wouldn't have done this. You know, like sometimes God does stuff, and I'm like, you should check with me. I had a better plan. But listen to God's plan. God designed the kingdom of God to operate through you all. God designed his kingdom to operate through men and women. He included us in it. He has permitted us to take every dime, and it's going to have an eternal effect. I was like, God, I would have done a different. No. God designed that every dime has an eternal effect. Righty? Now. Okay. This dime is the separating point for so many Christians that they can't get to step two. This dime is the separating point that Christians won't get to step two. This dime, the tithe, separates them from getting to two. All righty? Sherry told me the other day, I say all righty a lot, and I thought, man, I just said it five times in a row. We help one another. I'm sitting there laughing, going, I said that again. All righty. All right. Give me another one. Okay. Okay. In a few moments, I'm going to show you a scripture that you're going to see really clearly that this doesn't have to do, really doesn't have to do with money. Okay, but hang on there. Ready? Okay. Somebody keep score. What am I up to, 25? I just gotta laugh, guys. All right. So here's the second giving discipline. What was the first giving discipline? Tithe. What is it? 10% of every dollar belongs to who? All right. The second one is offering. What's an offering? I'm glad you asked. Offering is you choose. Everybody say, I choose. I choose to give after the tithe. I choose to give after the tithe. Okay. Who does the tithe belong to? So the offering is, I choose to give after the tithe something. And here's my third one, all right? Third, discipline for giving, the boot camp of discipline of giving. The third one is called giving to the poor. Everybody say giving to the poor. And I like what God says. He says this, whoever gives to the poor lends to God. I'm not even going to give you all the scripture references. You can Google them. They're real easy. But God says, whoever gives to the poor lends to God. That means God's obligated to give back to me. He's indebted to give to me because I gave to the poor. Now, I'm not going to go through real in-depth things on tithing, okay? But I want you to go to the bookstore, and I pulled out a whole bunch of things on the bookstore. I also have... I'll loan you my books, but you write your name in blood on my book that I loan it to you, and I give you 30 days to receive it, because Grandma did that, and I used to think, she is such a wingbat. No, she was a wise woman. I finally got wise. This one I've loaned to a lot of people. It's by Jesse DePlantis, okay? It's a DVD series. You can find this on YouTube, most of it. Ready? Why isn't my giving working? Jesse DePlantis. Okay, I'm going to leave him up here, and then you have to sign if you want to borrow it. Here's the other one. This is by Christopher Alam. It's called Radical Prosperity. This one I listened to for 4 years. Anybody ever hear a Creflo Dollar? Sherry, I'm listening. Sherry's downstairs, and I hear Creflo's voice. She's listening to him online. This one's called Grace-Based Giving, and there's like 20 CDs. It 2 years. I just would plop one in. Listen. So these are things you can do in depth. All right. And here's another one. This is really good. It's by Mark Barclay, and we might have one of those in there. Okay. The Real Truth About the Tithe. So I'm not going to go into details, but you can go dig into that. All righty. All righty, number 27. Chink! Here we go. I cracked myself up. What is going on here? So now what I want to do is I want to give you some examples of my life, the pain of giving. There was a lot of pain because I didn't understand. I was on the front end, and to me it was just pain because I didn't understand the end to end, the back end. So I'm going to share some things, okay? And I would give, but it was painful, but I didn't understand, again, the harvest that was going to be over here. Now, every Christian, let me see this. When I was a young Christian, I mean, I think I might have been a month old in the Lord. No, make it 3 months. 3 months in the Lord, because I finally decided after I got born again, someone said, you should go to church. Novel idea. You should tell someone immediately. Yeah, but no one told me that. So 3 months after I get born again, I get a Bible and I go to church and I learned about tithing and I did it. I just learned about it, I did it. I didn't understand it, but I did it, right? Anybody like that? You didn't understand it, but you just did it? And then Jack and I got together, got married, and then we went into ministry. And God began to do some things in our life. And to be honest, I didn't understand it. And I was really angry. I wasn't angry at God. I was just angry that I didn't understand this thing about the pain of giving, the discipline, the boot camp. So I was like that. And then time and time again, God would say, hey, I want you to take every penny that you have, and I want you to give it over here. Now, I have to say, we didn't have a lot of pennies. Big day is we had $5 left over in the bank. I thought, you know, when he got to, even if I had 000, I thought it was a big day. But God would talk to us all the time. And I'd look at Jack. Did you hear that? He'd look at me. Yeah, I heard that. You think? Yeah, okay. And he would talk to us over and over again. I want you to give this and give that, all right? But I used to say this. But God, I'm poor. How can I give to the poor? Anybody ever say that? Just me. All right. But we did. When God spoke to us, okay, not because somebody was preaching and pressuring you, and I've been in services like that, and I'm like, that's disgusting. But when God would speak to us, and I go, did you hear that? He said, yeah, okay. Well, we would do it, okay? So every month we would tithe, we would give offerings, and if we had some pennies left over, we gave to the poor, all right? But I was just kind of angry because I didn't understand the discipline and where I would end up with a harvest. Now, again, this really has nothing to do with money. This has to do with your purpose, your eternal purpose that God wants to use you and your destiny as a giver. Another time, let me tell you this, God was dealing with us. We were married. I think we only had about 2 kids back then. We were married, had 2 kids, and God was dealing with us to give all to this person. This is a person that we personally knew. We knew what was going on in their life. And again, this was amazing. We actually had saved some money. And it wasn't a lot, but we had this little lump sum. Didn't even have to open a checking account. We used to stick it in a jar. Okay? So we stuck it in the jar, and we had this little thing. I don't know what we were saving it for. And God spoke to us. Yeah, I want you to give it all to this person. And I looked at Jack. Did you hear that? Yes. Did you hear that? Yes, I heard that. And we did, okay? It wasn't a lot, but we just did. Anybody just did, because you knew it was God. But now ask me this. Pastor D, did you have a lot of joy? Did you have joy? No, I was in blessed pain. I was in pain because I didn't understand the giving that would have a harvest over here. But I caught up to that, all right? Now, here's what I want you to see. So, there is a discipline to be obedient to. There's a discipline to be giving in giving. There's a pain in giving. Everybody say pain, right? And the reason why I was in pain is because I couldn't see the harvest. Right? But you guys are going to see the harvest. Now, fast forward about 10 years later. No, it was at least sooner than that. Can't remember the dates. God puts on our heart to start YCF. And we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to do anything. We were so green, we wrote the color green. Okay? We didn't have any money, all right? But we started it. And here's what I didn't see in the pain of obedience and the pain of giving, that there would be a harvest of righteousness and peace. And the thousands of dollars that would pass through this place, I would see a harvest of people that got born again. That's the harvest. It wasn't about money. Though it was money, but it wasn't about money. And here we are, next year, 40 years later, and listen, in services, downstairs, youth, children, or something like that, there have been hundreds of people that have given their life to Jesus. That is the harvest. That's the harvest. That's the reward. That's the harvest, all right? And now you better smile at me. And everyone is called to this. Don't look at your shoes, look at the ceiling. Okay? Here's my third point, okay? Here's my third point. If you're taking notes, write this down. Can God trust me? Can God trust me? And I'm going to give you a scripture, I'm going to wrap it up and you'll see it, but can God trust me? It's either a yes or a no. Can God trust me? So I want to show you how money, which is the world's wealth, is the proving ground to determine if God can trust you. It's the proving ground. It proves if God can trust you, all right? What do you mean trust? Okay, now I'll answer you. Again, here's the deal. God determined that he was going to work through men and women, you and I, for his kingdom, okay? And until you understand that, you're going to go, ouch, pain, pain, pain. So open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. This is our last scripture. Luke 16, because Jesus, this is it. He explains it. He does it so much better than me. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Okay, Luke 16, starting in verse 10. Luke 16, starting in verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with little. Everybody say little. Everybody say trusted. It's about God trusting who? Okay. Whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest, but I'm going to throw this word in here, untrustworthy. Whoever is untrustworthy with little will also be dishonest, untrustworthy with much. Verse 11, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, what's worldly wealth? You guys figure that out, okay? Or that which is little, who will trust you with true riches? Everybody say true riches. Money is not true riches according to God. Write that down. According to God, to God, better yet, to God, money is not true riches, all right? Who will trust you with true riches, that which is much, and if you have not been trustworthy, listen to this, with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Verse 13, no one can serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot, you cannot, you cannot, you cannot serve both God and money. So what does he mean by that? Well, okay, we're talking about the discipline of giving. We're talking about being in the boot camp of giving, all right? When I make a determination that every resource that comes to me, every resource. This is the funnest thing to teach kids. They get this so easy. So start when they're real young. But when I am determined to take every resource that comes to me and I trust God that it's His, that I give it to Him. When I take every resource that comes to me, can I be honest with you? Of course, Pastor D, don't be a liar. So I have grown in this, but you want to know my biggest test was 4 years ago. I sold my house, and there was a resource that came to me. It was big. And the Lord says, can I trust you to give this to me? It took me 24 hours. I'd never had that much money. But you know what? It's yours. And that was it. I laughed, and I danced, and I shouted, all right? So I've never told that story. Anyway, so this, what does that mean? Can God trust you to give every resource to Him, or do you invest it in yourself? It was tempting, okay? Can God trust you to give every resource that comes to you to Him, or do you invest it in yourself? All right. Now, God has marked this resources for eternal purposes. It's not about money. It's about eternal purposes. Okay, so. Do I take what belongs to God because, you know, or do I keep it to benefit my life? There was pain in that one. There really was, all right? And so if I do that, if I keep this when it belongs to God, what I'm saying is, I do not trust you, God. I don't trust you. I don't trust you in this 10%. You know, as a matter of fact, this is a racket, God. Nobody ever had a conversation like that. But I have had people, Christians, come to me and say, you know what, Pastor D, this tithing thing is a big racket from God. And I think, that is the stupidest thing that ever came out of your mouth. But I didn't say it. I just smile at them. Hey, Jessica. All right? Really? That's just so funny. So, remember, out of every dollar, the dime belongs to who? Yep. Okay? And I said this in the beginning, and it matters to God. You may think, eh, but it matters to God. It matters to God, all right? Now, what happens in boot camp? You get to decide this. You get to decide offering. You get to decide giving to the poor. You get to decide. Everybody say, I get to decide. But how I handle this, okay, how I handle this, which God said was what, big? No, how I handle this, God said was little. How I handle this is, and you got to write this down, is the proving ground to see if God will trust me with what He considers much. This is the proving ground. This is the proving ground. All right, that which he calls is little, to see if God will trust me with what God calls much. And you know what God calls much? It's not money. It's people. That's what this is about. I could cry. That's what this is about. A harvest of people. People that love God, people that hate God. And the Bible says the precious fruit of the earth is people, okay? And the object of God's love, the object of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross had nothing to do with money. Oh, it's all about money. He didn't jump on the cross for money. It was about people. Everybody say it's about people. Okay, and Jesus says, if you can't be faithful with little, then I can't trust you with much. And you know, this is the part that I used to get mad at God because I didn't get it. It was like 20 years till I got this, okay? And I never saw that my destiny of a giver had to do with a harvest. It had to do with people. Never, I never saw it, all right? Now, Anybody here, Robert Morris? Brian, did you guys do a book on his? Who did that? One of our grow groups did his book. He's got two books that I read, and then I watched his YouTube. It's called Blessed Life and Beyond Blessed. And this stuck to me, and then I started thinking about this with today's message. He said, he's a pastor, he's a dad, he's a writer, he's just a wonderful man of God, all right? And he wrote, and I watched his YouTube, he said, anyone who's getting married, anyone, you should be asking questions, you should look, you should have a sit-down talk before you get married. And he tells the story, I'm not going to give you the punchline, he tells the story about his daughter who was engaged to this guy. And that's all. You got to go look. I'm not going to tell you the punchline on this. But it has to do this. He said, what you need to do is ask them, hey, honey, I love you. What do you do with this?
Oh, I'm so in love with you.
Uh-huh. Honey, what do you do with this? That's what you should be asking. What do you do with this? And this is what he said. He said, the person that are Christians, that have any kind of knowledge, okay, especially tithe, that's usually what you get. He said, if they use this on themselves, then they're more than likely going to use you someplace. And that's not a good place. If they use this on themselves, more than likely they're going to try using people, right? And man, I've had that happen to people. So, if they take what belongs to God for their own benefit, won't they take from you? I know this is a happy message. Woohoo, Pastor D. I should give you the lollipops now, okay? Now listen, this is it. This is not because they want to. This is because they were trained and to lift their head up in the war, in the battle. They were trained to lift their head up. They don't know any better, okay? That's why they weren't trained. Well, that's how they were trained, okay? And so they trust in this. They were trained to trust in this. I got to keep it. Okay, boot camp, here we go. Okay, fast forward in my life, probably about 10 years ago, I'm reading Matthew chapter 9 and Luke chapter 2. They're two similar stories, and I was reading, especially digging into Luke chapter 2, I think starting in verse 2, Jesus has ministered to tons of people, okay? And he looks out and he says, oh, I see all these people. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And they're harassed and they're hurting and they're frustrated and they're la, 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 la. And he looks out at people. And he turns, and he's with his boys, and he turns to the boys and he says, you need to pray. Tell your neighbor, you need to pray. He says, you need to pray. And he says, but matter of fact, it was more like pray now. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. And you know, I used to use this scripture back then in a really narrow way. But that day the Lord spoke to me. Okay, and so again, Jesus says, pray to the Lord of harvest to send laborers to the harvest, all right? Now, he didn't tell them to pray for money, did he? No, he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers, okay? Laborers, okay? Laborers are people that are going to go do the work of the ministry. Go do. Okay, and God sends laborers. Some of you are the laborers here, all right? You know, laborers in worship and in children's ministry and missions and all sorts of things. You're laborers. I know your stories. You're laborers, okay? But this is where the Lord got to me, and he said, just the Holy Spirit on the inside, he says, I will raise up laborers to pay for the gospel. I was like, shoot, that's cool. And he had to say, I will raise up laborers to pray for the gospel. So don't pray for money. Pray for laborers to pay for it. Well, I'm not one of those biggies, big accounts. Maybe you are, and you can write your checks to YCF because we will send it out, okay? But listen, so now my job, this is what our Lord says. Now you need to pray for laborers. Pray for laborers to pay for the gospel, to get the gospel out. Pay for laborers so Tammy can have a whole year paid in full. Pray for those laborers. Amen. Miss Jural, pray for laborers to pay the rent. That's the thingy. For a whole year, just pay it off. Pray for laborers if that's you. Go see them after church, all right? So what if God asked you, what if God asked you to take your little treasure, you know, I had that little, we had that little treasure up in the can, okay, to put it into my kingdom. What if God asked you to give that house to my kingdom? What if God asked you to give that car, that super-duper shiny speedy thing that catches speeding tickets, right? What if God spoke to you to give that to his kingdom, all right? And again, it really has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with how you steward this, how you steward this, the after, you know, the offering, how you steward giving to the poor, okay? It has everything to do with that. I remember, I'll tell you what, this one got me. We had two kids. I think when we first started, Jack and I made $150 a week. Excuse me, I was stay-home mom, but we're one, so Jack and I made $150 a week. We ate oatmeal every day for breakfast. Oatmeal's cheap. We had PB&Js on white bread. I love it to this day. You don't make me happy. Just white bread, okay? And spaghetti for dinner and stuff like that. And God spoke to us, and we didn't have a lot. We had pennies. And God spoke to us, and we do the same thing. What'd you hear? Go with the big amount. Okay. And okay. It really didn't have to do with money because, it had to do with the front end, but it had to do with the harvest. Praise God. So, I want to pray for everybody. God has a destiny for every one of us as a giver. And that destiny affects people. I love people. How many of you love people? He has a destiny for you to be a giver, and it affects people, all right? It has an eternal purpose, people. So can he trust you with the little for the much? Shake your head, yes, Pastor D. All right. So again, it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with people. The greatest gift ever given to humanity, the greatest history of histories is that God gave his son, Jesus, right? God gave his son, Jesus. That was the greatest gift. So I want to ask you, with everybody, you know, I know a bunch of your stories, but just would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? We'll wrap up, all right? I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to receive the gift of the one who gave everything for you. So you just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. He gave his son Jesus to die on a cross to pay for my sins and your sins, okay? And Jesus said, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell you don't want to go to. And God, who is a righteous God, because of sin in the world and then we were sin-stained, couldn't have us in his presence. But he wanted us in his presence, so he gave his son, all right, for your sins. And he would put our sins, your sins, my sins on him. All right. Okay. And he would come as a babe for one reason, right? To take what was due you so that you could be forever with him. He would put on himself our sins. He would judge you, but then he would take the judgment. He would suffer in your place so you wouldn't have to suffer. He would be buried in your place so you wouldn't have to be buried, okay? And he conquered death for you. So I want to ask you, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life to be Lord of your life, what do I mean? Like if you were to die today, you don't know where you're going? Well, I want to tell you, you can know where you're going. I'm asking you, have you ever received Jesus? I'm not asking you if you grew up in church. I think church is a great place to grow up, okay? I'm not asking you if you went to Christian School of York. That's a good school to go to. I'm not asking you if you are sprinkled or dunked, okay? Because none of those things will get you to heaven. will give you a relationship. I'm asking you, I'm asking everybody here, real serious. What have you done with Jesus? Have you ever asked him to come into your life to be Lord and Savior? And if you'd say, Pastor D, I've not, but I'm ready, then we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you, all right? And Jesus, I love it. He doesn't give you 25 steps. He's so wonderful. It's really simple. It's not complicated. It's simply pray this from your heart. So I'm going to ask everybody the simple question, what have you done with Jesus? And maybe you're not sure. Today, would you say, I believe in Jesus? Then can you pray with us? Can you pray with me? All right, so everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And he bore my sin, all right? So I open my heart and my life to him. Jesus, I receive you now as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for coming into my life and making me brand new, like I never sinned. Wow, so good. You are my Savior and my Lord. And when I die, I am heaven bound. Amen. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, I have some altar ministers up front, coming up front. We would like to give you a Bible, because no one told me I needed to read a Bible. It's a really good thing, okay? And we just want to just celebrate with you. The rest of y'all, tonight, would you come back? We have prayer for York. It starts at 7. We got some goodies, so come in at 6:30, all right? And then Wednesday, see you at the poll. Would be amazing. All right, stand up. Father, I thank you that your word is truth, and the truth sets us free. I thank you, Father, that these people are free to live their destiny as a giver, and we will see a harvest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Praise God. Go hang out and talk to people.